What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Lumos. Hello, friends. Welcome back to Shell Cottage Radio. I'm your host and secret keeper, Ezra, a.k.a. Bill, also known as Sir Ezra the Watchful, History of Magic Professor, the Flannel Wizard, obviously. Yours truly, me. Please welcome your lovely design, which the fascination of this year, Triwizard Champion herself, my wonderful co-host and yours, Lottie, a.k.a. Fleur.
Hallo und einen wunderschönen guten Tag. It's so good to have you back in our beautiful little cottage on the outskirts of Tinworth. Kommt rein und macht's euch gemütlich. Welcome to episode 110, in which we discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire. This week, we'll talk about chapter 27, Padfoot Returns. We'll give you a quick life update with our homemade cottage ketchup, feed our brains with important trivia knowledge, and then dive head on into our chapter summary audio experience. And I have a question for you.
Okay.
Question is, why was the borrowed money happy to be returned?
Why was the borrowed money happy to be returned? Because it was a loan?
Oh, I
got it.
No, because it wasn't a loan anymore.
Oh, it wasn't a loan. Okay.
That kind of destroyed.
I'm so sorry, but I actually got that one. I got that. It took me a second, but I got it. Can I tell you something?
Yes.
Why is a door not a... When is a door not a door?
You totally busted it.
Sorry, but...
Wow, every time... We are so good at this at home, and now we're busting it.
I know, but seriously, answer the question. When is a door not a door?
When it's a jar.
When it's a jar. Oh, it's so crazy. I love those dad jokes. So for Father's Day, Lottie got me a book of dad jokes, and it's hilarious.
It's great, because you love those kind of jokes.
It's so good. Yeah. So, hey, what is the leading cause of dry skin? Is a towel.
I don't know.
It's a towel.
I think we busted every single joke in this episode so far.
What do you mean?
Do we need one good one? Okay, let me give you one good one.
What do you mean we busted it? We're good.
Well, we kind of either said it at the beginning what it is, or you got it right, and then it's not a joke anymore.
Okay. All right, read me a good one.
Oh, I got one. Okay. What did the sushi say to the bumblebee?
Don't know.
Wasabi.
Wasabi. Okay, that's pretty good. Oh, wow. Wasabi. Man. Okay. They're fun. I think they're fun. And I need to start memorizing a few so that way I can use them and just weave them in and out of conversations.
I know. That's like, right? I was never the person who knew any jokes. And now I'm trying to memorize some of these.
Yeah.
Why did the banana put sunscreen on?
Don't know.
It was starting to peel.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
that's one of those really funny dad jokes. Okay. Sorry, I kind of derailed us here right at the beginning.
Oh, you're fine.
Okay, after a quick baby break, we're going to start this episode now with some cottage ketchup. How have you been sweating?
Yeah.
Sweaty?
So I'm pretty sweaty. Every day. And there's a multitude of reasons, which, good Lord.
You should not be sweating. It is really cold downstairs.
Actually, that's why I still have the hoodie on. I like to keep the hoodie on for like when I'm on the elliptical machine, to sweat, and it's sort of like my sweat rag. I know it's probably gross, too much information for people, but like it just is what it is. And then I was going to go mow, but then it looks like it's going to be fine for another day. Allows me to record. So I just rolled on downstairs with the hoodie on because it's freezing downstairs in my basement. The way I like it, you know? So Lottie, I keep it so cold that Lottie's like never going down there. She's like, unless I absolutely have to, there's no reason she's coming downstairs.
I'll put on my winter coat.
Yeah, she does. Yeah, she really will. So,
but actually, the reason why I don't go downstairs is not really because of the cold, but because I have a Ron Weasley syndrome.
Fear of spiders.
Called arachnophobia.
Yeah, but I don't, she's seen like two spiders down here and she thinks it's like infested and it's just a basement, you know? It's just full of spiders.
I know it's not, but every time I'm so ready to see one, I can't get it out of my mind. And then when I see one, like, you know, once every other month, it's like, oh, I knew it. See, I knew it. It's there.
Right.
It's been there the whole time.
Yeah. I like to pretend like there are more down here than there are. That way it just, it's my space, you know? It's defended by the spiders.
I know. You know what? Actually, I can tie this into Harry Potter easily.
Okay.
Because when I first read the first book, I don't know if you remember, but when Harry is in his cupboard under the stairs, he picks off a spider off of his sock.
Wow.
Socks have spiders on it, or a spider, and he picks it off. And I remember reading it.
Because he lives down there with the spiders.
Yeah, there was just spiders in the cupboard.
Yeah.
Or is it the... Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, he's not in his room. He's in the cupboard on the stairs. And I remember thinking, wow, I wish... Because I was afraid of spiders back then.
Oh, boy. That's our baby boy. He's not happy. He's not happy. He was asleep when we started. And then he's like, yeah, I can tell you guys are doing something fun. I know Mama's doing something. Welcome back to baby break number two. There we go. Of the show. You see the video version, you'll see our little guy over there. He just wanted to look around, see what's going on.
Yeah,
He wanted to see dad on the screen. He's probably wondering, like, is he trapped in there? He's like, is dad coming out?
Oh, no. Like so, Dudley in the zoo.
Yeah.
Dada.
Anything else, though, cottage ketchup-wise, before we dive into trivia? How are you doing?
Yeah, good. Really good. It's so fun now that Lucas is a little more awake and to play with him a little bit, even though he can't, like, you know, physically, like, touch things and play with you yet. But playing in front of him, you can see he's alert, he's awake, he follows things with his eyes, he laughs. It's so much fun. We're having a good time right now.
Yeah, he's great.
But there's something we wanted to talk about earlier. I think it was about little fun games, because we were talking about the games that we play and that we played when we were kids. And you have, you know, all these cool toys and the best toys in the world. I think cat owners can relate to, you buy something for a cat and, you know, they lay down in the box and find the box the most interesting thing.
Right.
But yeah, when we were kids, my brother and I, we would just sit down on a hardwood floor and we have a ping pong ball. You know, we just, one of us sits in at the one end, the other one at the other end, and we just bounce the ping pong ball in between us.
Yeah.
Back and forth. And just for, you know, hours.
Yep.
We were occupied. Like, that's fun it can be.
I remember we used to take
on the 90s kid.
Yeah. We used to take on the back porch a golf ball, and we would, It's not the back porch I have now at my dad's. He definitely redid it and everything. But we would take the ball. We would roll it up to the porch. We'd roll it up one side, and it would roll back down to us because it wasn't level, right? It would just roll up.
Oh, that's so funny.
And roll back down. And eventually, cool. once dad got it, you know, he added on and sort of did a bunch of work to our house. We went to go play the game. We couldn't play anymore. We'd just roll.
Oh, you were mad at your dad.
We'd roll the ball, and it would just stay there. So... Yeah.
Boo, that's boring.
Boring, I know. But
yeah, a friend of mine that I grew up with and we played volleyball together, we could, like, for hours. We probably were in her parents' backyard for like 2 hours, and we would just be talking while we were playing volleyball, like, not over the net, but just back and forth, you know, playing the ball. And for hours. It was so cool and so fun. Sometimes I miss that. So we're actually contemplating now getting either a pool or a badminton set. So
yeah, we'll let you guys decide, actually. We'll put it up for a vote. And if you guys vote for the pool, we'll get the pool. And if you vote for badminton, we'll do that.
Yeah, either we'll have a pool party or a badminton tournament.
Yeah. So we are actually, I want to get a basketball hoop in the front so we can start shooting hoops.
That would be fun. Yeah. And just shoot hoops.
Yeah. I guess some concrete laid down and stuff. I used to shoot hoops for hours and hours as a kid. It was awesome. So
that's so cool.
Yeah. But it's crazy. I've been in summer for a while and I feel like now is my first day of actual summer vacation.
Yeah. And
I think people forget, especially my friends and family, like they forget that even though I'm a teacher, I still work all the time during summer. Yeah. I'm still working, air quote, working. This is my fun little hobby that we do. But this is still takes time and effort. We have to, write the summary. We have to find time to do it. We are taking care of Luke. Luke, we tried to start the show, and he said, I don't think so.
No.
not without me. You're not starting that show. But anyways, it's been, I'm actually just kind of excited to like get back into content creation more and do things that are fun, but are also work. And I've got this whole thing. We went to a coffee shop this morning. We took a big walk. We wrote down sort of like my ideal dream day, blocked out some time for different things. And it's fun. It's really cool. Cause also Lottie's working on all of her crochet stuff and she's going to be at LAP3 selling things. So anyone who's interested in coming out to Mount Vernon and joining in the fun that's over on Up Talkin' Tolkien, I'll share the Facebook event for you guys. There's over 700 people interested in coming, which is crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah. kind of shocked by that.
It's going to be the Lord of the Rings style Kent, I think.
I hope so. That would be
maybe
really,
one day.
That'd be awesome.
Maybe not this year because we didn't expect that many people to show up or to at least be interested.
Right.
But maybe one day if we keep doing it, who knows?
Yeah. So. But yeah, that's basically what's up. I mean, we're just doing our thing. Get some projects around the house we got to get to, and that's that, really.
Yeah.
So enough about our lives. I think it's time to dive into some Harry Potter.
Yes, let's do it.
Trivia.
Ding 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 ding.
I was trying to conjure Tiffany's, recap.
It's harder to do it with trivia.
Trivia. Yeah, it doesn't work as well. And I've been thinking of them because they just went down to Epic Universe or whatever down there.
Right.
And we were watching their blog. Come on, Ez. Get it together. Was watching their vlog beforehand. And I got to thinking, like, when the HBO show starts up and we start seeing this new TV show based on Harry Potter run by HBO, is it going to look the same? Are they going to, they have a whole park dedicated to the Ministry of Magic. Is the Ministry of Magic going to look different? And then, like, are you going to make a second park? It's just kind of weird.
That's weird. I don't think so. I hope they have the rights to things like that. I'm guessing they're not going to change really the look of Hogwarts, in Hogwarts Legacy. They definitely changed some things for the game. And obviously they can also say, well, it's been 50 years or more, actually more like 100 years. so it's okay if the castle has changed over the years. That's fine. You can explain that.
Yeah.
But the where it's at, like the surroundings, the iconic castle just looks the same, and I think it should be that way in the show too. I don't think they're going to change that.
Hope so, but we'll see. I think it's something people haven't really thought about. They haven't thought about whether or not the TV show is going to use the same sets, and is the Ministry going to look the same? Is Hogsmeade going to look the same? We have a whole park dedicated to Hogsmeade. We have a park dedicated to Diagon Alley. So are those places going to look the same? And if not, is that going to throw people? Right.
Actually, I think so. If you think about Star Wars, they make Coruscant always look not exactly the same, but there is certain elements that are always there. Like you have all the flying vehicles and the big buildings.
Right.
So I think it's going to be something like that where it's definitely you can tell what it is and it's not going to be changed fundamentally.
I hope so. So. Anyway, all right, time to drive. What am I trying to say? Let's dive into some trivia. Here we go. You got your card?
I got a card, and this time we're going to choose the hardest question on the card, so we get a challenge. Mm-hmm. Okay, I can start. Are you ready for a question?
I am ready, yes.
Okay. To test Harry's knowledge in his first year, Snape asks him about the combination of powdered root of asphodel and what?
Unbelievable card. Unbelievable. Ask him about, so read it again.
Conjure up that scene in your mind.
Uh-huh. And read the question again.
So he's testing Harry's knowledge. In the first year, Snape asks him about the combination of powdered root of asphodel and what? So what do you combine asphodel with? And what does that make? You don't have to answer what that makes. But
doesn't it make living death? I don't know. What? I have no clue. I think powdered asphodel with... I have no clue.
Okay. The answer is an infusion of wormwood.
Infusion of wormwood. As you disgust you me. You disgust me. How did you not know that?
Even read the book.
This is proof this guy's never read the books. I swear to God. It's even in the show, buddy. Well, like, you could
have. Yeah. But if you're listening, let us know. Did you know the answer? I would be curious if that is an answer people normally would know. Because I don't think I could have answered that. I'm actually conjuring, like, you know, it's an iconic scene from the first movie. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure I've seen the first movie more in German than I have seen it in English. So let's see. What does he say?
Wow. That's interesting.
Eisenhut und Wolfswurz, I think is what he asks.
Okay.
Wolfswurz? Wolfswurm? I don't know.
Sure.
Yeah, but I think I could have answered it in German. But it's different. So,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Couldn't have answered it either. What's your question?
Every card I pull has literally just like easy, just easy. Do you know what I'm saying?
Well,
like, what a joke. There's no way. There's no way you pulled that card.
the cards know. No, I did. The cards know that I don't know stuff.
I mean, all I have to do is go look at the answers, and if the answers are like easy.
Yeah, just look at the answers.
Then
that's
it's
what
like, what? Okay. What type of dragon does Cedric face in the first task of the Triwizard Tournament?
Okay, so hang on. I think Fleur has the Chinese.
Okay.
Harry has the
I'm not agreeing with you. I'm just saying, okay.
Yes, yes. Wait. Welsh, what's the Welsh green? I think he has the Welsh green.
Green. Nope.
Wait.
He has
the... No, Fleur has the Welsh.
Listen here. He has the Swedish short snout.
The short snout. No. Wait, did... yes. And did Fleur have the Chinese? No, the Welsh?
I think Crumb did. I don't know.
Dang it.
Yeah. Well,
I was like, oh, I can answer that question.
Yeah, no problem, right?
But,
I mean, anyway, sorry. I had
I should have thought out loud longer. I think I went with the first one.
No, it's okay. It's
right.
Okay. I think people are probably like, you know, they're...
Swedish short snout. Okay, yeah.
They're like,
yeah,
come on, guys. If you don't know it, you don't. You know, it's fine. Okay, let me think here. Now,
you have a question from this chapter?
I do, but you go ahead and ask yours. Because I have to text my father, who is probably trying to show up here while we're recording.
Oh, oops.
Okay, go ahead. Fire off your question.
Okay, my question for this chapter for you is: what is the name of the shop where Harry buys Dobby some socks as a thank you for helping him with the second task?
I knew that was going to be your question. I knew it.
So you looked it up?
So before I started this episode, I actually went to our YouTube page and I actually wrote up a poll that said which... Oh my gosh, I just read the poll and I made a typo. Oh my gosh, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Anyways, it's... isn't it like Glad? It's Glad Rags Wizard Wear.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yes, it is. And you know what? It actually is. The shop is in Hogwarts Legacy, in Hogsmeade. Glad Rags Wizard Wear is the shop where you buy your gear and stuff.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
So it's been there. It's been there for a while.
Yeah, I had no idea that was even a thing, and I guess. Let me ask you a follow-up question. So here's my question for you, my trivia question. You ready?
Yeah, yeah.
What two types of socks did Harry buy for Dobby?
I know that one because I read it. There's no exact name for it, I think. But one has like sparkling stars or something. The other one, that's pretty funny. It starts, what does it do? Sing, yell, something like that. Make a loud noise mm-hmm. when your feet are starting to stink.
Yep.
Smell.
Smell. Very good.
When you have smelly feet.
Very good. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah.
Okay, so. We each get a point.
And we had to redeem ourselves from last time because basically I think we said both of us were like, I don't think Harry ever went and got him socks. And literally, like, next chapter, he's like,
I know.
Got you socks, bro. So,
well,
have
however,
you ever read the books?
However, he said, I'm going to get him, you know, a pair of socks for every day of the year.
Yep.
Did he get 300 and how many days has he? 365. Sock, pairs of socks? No, he did not.
No, he didn't.
Liar!
Liar.
I must not tell lies.
Wow. Wow. Okay.
That's awesome.
All right. Well, while he is getting ready to go to sleep, I mean, unless you have something else, I can just read the chapter summary.
Sounds great.
Chapter 27, Padfoot Returns. Harry has successfully completed the second task in the Triwizard Tournament and is now in second place right behind Cedric Diggory. The following week after the task, he is not the only one who is being admired. Since Ron was one of the hostages and no one else was able to see what happened down in the lake, Ron starts telling wild tales about wrestling down a bunch of merpeople before he was taken captive. And now, Padma Patil is taking a greater interest in Ronald Weasley. Hermione, on the other hand, is being made fun of for being the thing that Victor Crumb would miss. As March begins, hefty winds are taking a toll on the delivery owls, but nonetheless, Harry receives a letter from Sirius that Friday morning. And again, it's only a short answer telling Harry to meet him Saturday afternoon in Hogsmeade, and to please bring a ton of food. The trio is shocked and they're worried that Sirius is back in Hogsmeade, but of course they want to see him and decide to go. However, they still have to get through their Friday classes. And when they arrive down in the dungeons, they see the Slytherins standing in a huddle snickering over something. Pansy Parkinson breaks into gleeful giggles when she sees Hermione and tosses her the latest issue of Witch Weekly. Then Snape comes around the corner, opens the classroom, and begins his lesson. As soon as he turns around to write on the blackboard, Hermione starts flipping through the magazine's pages under her desk until she finds Rita Skeeter's latest article. Skeeter has written another scandalous story about how Harry is heartbroken over Hermione, who, according to the article, has her sights set on Victor Crumb. It claims Hermione must have used a love potion to catch the attention of the famous Quidditch star. The article even mentions that Victor supposedly invited Hermione to spend the summer with him in Bulgaria. Ron is furious, telling Hermione that she shouldn't have annoyed Rita Skeeter the last time that they were in Hogsmeade. Hermione just laughs it off, but she's genuinely confused about how Rita Skeeter knew that Victor invited her to Bulgaria. Ron is extremely interested to hear what Hermione's answer to Crumb's question was, but Snape has come over to reprimand them in front of everyone for discussing their personal life in class. He snaps the magazine from Hermione and begins to read from the article. He then punishes them for talking in class and separates the trio. Hermione gets placed next to Pansy and Harry next to Snape's desk, where Snape starts insulting and provoking him. He warns Harry not to break into his office ever again. Apparently, Boom Slang Skin and Gillyweed recently have gone missing. Snape pulls out a bottle of Veritas Serum and threatens to spill some in Harry's pumpkin juice if he steps out of line one more time. This makes Harry feel queasy, thinking about all of the secrets that he absolutely cannot afford to spill, such as Sirius's whereabouts or his feelings for Cho Chang. Then somebody knocks at the door. Karkaroff comes in demanding to talk to Snape this instant. Snape seems angry and asks him to wait until after the lesson, so Karkaroff goes to the corner behind his desk and waits. Harry, nosy as he is, spills his armadillo bile on purpose right before the bell rings and ducks under the desk to eavesdrop. When he takes a peek at the two professors, he sees how Karkaroff is showing Snape something on his forearm. But this makes Snape even more angry and also nervous at the same time. He tells him to put it away and that they can talk later. But Harry notices how he anxiously looks around the room to see if any of the students are watching. When Karkaroff turns around to leave, Harry grabs his book bag as fast as he can and runs out of the classroom to catch up with Ron and Hermione. The next day, the trio leaves for Hogsmeade right after lunch. They manage to sneak out some chicken legs and bread for Sirius. But before they meet up with him, they stop at a local clothing store to buy Dobby some fun socks as a thank you for helping Harry with the second task. Then they start walking towards the meeting point with Sirius. It's outside of Hogsmeade in a wild area that Harry has never been to before. They almost reach the foot of a nearby mountain when a familiar black dog comes trotting their way. It's Sirius, aka Padfoot, disguised in Animagus form. The dog is over the moon to see them and leads them up the mountain to a hidden cave. Inside, they're surprised to see Buckbeak. Sirius transforms back into his human form and begins to gulp down the food that they brought him. He admits that he's been surviving on rats mostly for the past couple of months. Harry is torn between his feelings of excitement to see Sirius and worried that his godfather is risking his freedom by living so close to Hogwarts. Sirius explains that he had to come and stay at least nearby in case something happens. He's suspicious of all the things that have been happening lately in the wizarding world. Then he shows them two recent issues of the Daily Prophet. The first one writes about Mr. Crouch being ill at St. Mungo's Hospital, which is very confusing because Harry just saw Crouch on the Marauder's map sneaking around in Snape's office the other night. The second headline states that Bertha Jorkins still remains missing and that Cornelius Fudge is now personally getting involved. Hermione thinks Crouch is getting what he deserves for sacking Winky, his house elf. This is new to Sirius, and he finds it highly interesting that Crouch fired the elf. Together, they go over the entire scenario at the Quidditch World Cup again, and how Harry's wand could have been stolen by someone up in the top box. Sirius thinks that Crouch's behavior both at the World Cup and the Triwizard Tournament is extremely suspicious and very much unlike him. He goes on to reveal some heavy truths about Barty Crouch. He tells the trio that Crouch was the one who sent him to Azkaban without a trial. He used to be a very ambitious wizard working as the head of magical law enforcement, and he's famous for operating against Voldemort's supporters. But his methods were so ruthless that when his own son was caught with a group of Death Eaters, Crouch didn't hesitate to send him to Azkaban as well. Sirius was there when Crouch's son died in a cell about a year after his sentence. Sirius explains that after his son's death, Mr. Crouch lost a lot of his popularity because people started to feel sorry for his son and they wondered how a good kid like that could go so wrong. However, Crouch's most recent behavior and the fact that Harry saw him on the Marauder's map in Snape's office, even though he hasn't shown up to the tournament events at all, doesn't make sense to Sirius. Ron, ever suspicious of Snape, still believes that Snape is involved with the Death Eaters. Sirius agrees, mentioning that Snape knew more curses when he arrived at school than half the kids in 7th year. And he was a member of a gang of Slytherins who nearly all turned out to be Death Eaters. But why wouldn't Barty Crouch want to keep an eye on him publicly at the tournament and at Hogwarts? Harry also describes to Sirius what happened yesterday at the end of potions class and how Karkaroff showed Snape something on his forearm. Sirius then gives Ron a task. He wants him to ask his brother Percy both about Mr. Crouch and whether he's personally seen him lately, and about any updates on the disappearance of Bertha Jorkins. Finally, when they say their goodbyes, Sirius gives Harry a stern warning to be careful, as he won't be safe while the Triwizard Tournament is going on. On their way back to Hogwarts, Ron wonders aloud if Percy would ever betray his own family for his career, just like Mr. Crouch did with his son.
Well, some foreshadowing there to Percy.
Yeah, maybe.
I mean,
maybe.
He was right. Percy would have done. I mean, I don't think he would have been as bad as Crouch, and he definitely showed remorse. And I think it's very sad that we didn't get a lot of that in the movies. You know, just like Dudley and Percy, they didn't get their redemption, yeah. Really. But that's okay.
Right. Yeah. Hopefully the TV show will cover that, because those are definitely interesting characters. There's so many characters in the story that deserve their time.
Yeah, for sure. Yep. We have, I think we, in this chapter, we have some, you know, more character development, because even though we know the trio, we've known them since the first book and they're like these ongoing main characters, but they still, I mean, it's so cool to see them grow up and go through these different stages of their coming of age phase. Yeah. And in this chapter, it's kind of interesting how Ron, this whole chapter, he looks a bit foolish in his attempt to try and impress people, you know, first like girls, when he tells them, I could have taken those mer idiots anytime I wanted.
That's so hilarious though.
I mean, Hermione said, what were you gonna do, snort them?
How does she know that he doesn't have the power to, you know, break the enchantment?
She was probably like, probably, but you were asleep though, so.
But hold on a second. Could he have broken the enchantment? Is it possible? No, think about that. Let's say Dumbledore, they bring him down there. Are you able to break out of that enchantment?
Well, Dumbledore can make you If there's something happening, if Harry didn't make it in time and they have to go get Ron, someone else can make him snap out of it.
Right. I'm just saying that let's say you're in a life or death situation and you're Dumbledore and you've been entranced or whatever spell that they put on that person. Do you have the power to undo it, or is it just like you're donezo? You know what I mean? I'm just wondering, is there some sort of counter spell that
he could... I'm sure if you're powerful enough that you're... Right? First of all, you have to be aware of it. Like, once you're asleep. So in your sleep state, you have to somehow reach from your subconsciousness to your conscious mind and tell them, hey, we need to fight.
Well, I mean, because you think about how are they breathing underwater? And then... They're asleep. They're magic. Not just asleep. There's definitely magic. There's some magic enchantment that Dumbledore put on these individuals. And I just think it's like, I kind of wonder if there's counter spells for that sort of stuff. Maybe Ron's telling the truth. Is what I'm trying to say.
Oh no! So he's definitely impressing Padma Patil, who was not that impressed with him at the Yule Ball, but now she's like, "Hi, Ron. What's up?" Mm-hmm, wait intentionally like waiting for him in the corridor and stuff like that.
Yeah, I gotta say so real quick, cute. Text to or self to text to self, whatever connection here. as a high school teacher, you would not believe the number of times where a fight breaks out and it's nothing. It's literally just and I don't mean nothing. I know that the fights are serious. You have to take them serious or whatever. But, like, it's a little skirmish. It's a little push, a shove, or whatever. And by the time it gets up to my classroom, I mean, 15 people were involved. So-and-so was holding so back. Like they were all talking about that they were calling back up with the deputies. I'm like, get out of here. Like, none of that happened. And I know it's all tall tales. Right. And they're all having fun telling this story.
You know,
so-and-so jumped up at a table and pushed somebody. And I'm like, I've even gone and watched the video sometimes. I'm like, where was the push, man? Like, what? I thought there was a push. And it's just like, well, he bumped into him or something.
They just embellish a little bit.
Boy, they embellish. And I love a good embellishment, by the way.
I know you do. And then the next day, though, they all come in and they're best friends again. So that's the best part about it.
Sometimes, I mean, honestly, at my high school, I feel like they're staged because, like, they're kind of like, it's getting kind of boring around here. You guys want to do something? Right. Like, nobody's really mad at anybody.
It's fine. Yeah.
They're pretty chill, the kids.
That's funny.
So
anyway, Ron is, I don't know, like I was talking about how he's looking a bit foolish, not just here at the beginning with Hermione and him trying to impress some people, but also later with Sirius. Every time he's like, okay, Hermione, we got you, like house elves, come on, it's okay, like just give me a break with those house elves. Or suggesting, oh, I know, Malfoy, they did it, they stole Harry's wand at the Quidditch World Cup. And actually, like, later on when they talk to Sirius, he's so annoyed at Ron that he just like shuts him up and like you know waves a hand or motions the hand to stop him from talking. And like,
right.
Okay, we got it, Ron. And it's almost to the point where if I was Ron, I would definitely think like Sirius doesn't like me.
But he does agree with him at one point though.
Oh, so yes.
He does agree with him about Snape. He's like, Harry wants to know, is like, they're Sirius, what do you think? And he's like, they're both right. Both
right.
Hermione and Ron are right.
That's true. I'm just saying that before that. I feel like Ron's getting his, what do you say?
Oh, no, he is.
His share of I don't know. Yeah. He just learns like, okay, I got to stop, I don't know, trying to impress everybody.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because you know how you think when you're like in Ron's situation, you're a wizard, you grew up with like house elves and they don't have all these riots and they want to work and all that stuff. That's just normal to you. And you know Sirius grew up in a household like that. So you're trying to make him not feel uncomfortable with Hermione being so adamant about house elf rights. So Ron's like, okay, Hermione, we get it. You know, trying to casually make sure like, you know, Sirius doesn't want to hear this. He assumes that.
Yeah.
But then Sirius is actually very interested in that and agrees with Hermione to an extent.
And what sucks is that I think Ron actually was just trying to help Hermione out. He didn't want Hermione to be embarrassed in front of Sirius.
Yeah.
You know, in his own backward way.
It goes both ways. Yeah. And then, but then fast forward to next book, come on, Sirius in this book, there is a quote actually where he says, to tell what a man's like, you can see how he treats his
his lessers or something.
Yeah, and not his equals. Yeah.
His servants or his inferior.
His inferiors.
Yeah.
If you know, if you want to know what a man is like, take a good look at how he treats his inferiors, not his equals. And then fast forward to the next book where the way he treats Creature. And then Creature. He gets annoyed with Hermione, right? Like,
enough of kinda, your vile.
Kind of interesting. How things change here. And yeah. Anyway, just like that's my take on how Ron is going through a little bit of development here.
Actually, if this story didn't have all these serious tones and there wasn't some plot to assassinate or hurt Harry, I mean, nobody's thinking like that. So it's all kind of like Ron kind of keeps you. It's really a good move from Rowling to kind of keep him as this individual who brings everybody down to earth and is not seeing.
Yeah.
It's okay to not see the seriousness of this because it shouldn't be that serious. It's not typical for this to be everyone to be on high alert here and serious is serious.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. But then he also describes why he is so on guard, because things are starting to look the same way or similar to back when they were at war already. Mm-hmm. And he describes how awful it was.
Yeah.
How no one felt safe. You were always so afraid to come home and hear about, you know, other news that somebody in your family or inner circle has been mm-hmm. attacked or something. So, It is understandable that Sirius is so serious about it. But yeah, the kids, obviously, they haven't lived through it. And that's, even though Ron says, hey, try us, we want to understand it.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
But it's I hear it all the time, actually. It's funny because it's not on the same level, obviously. But my parents, they lived when the wall was still up. So they always tell me stories about that time. And I can only imagine because it was gone when I was born. So, but it is still so present in my life through their stories. I wonder if Arthur and Molly ever talked in front of the kids about that time mm-hmm. when they were at war, when there was war, you know, the first Wizarding War.
Yeah. Yeah, probably. I mean, it's when you have that perspective, it's jarring to the kids because he's lived it. He knows what it's like. And for them, they're still innocent, still trying to figure, you know, all of this out. And maybe Ron's been also sheltered from a lot. He's heard stories, but it's like even his older siblings know more. They're a little bit closer to it, right? Charlie and Bill. But he and Jenny are, you know, much, much younger. And there's been a time of peace. You know, they grew up during a time where that wasn't sort of going on. And that's actually what you talk about a lot, mm-hmm. which is like at one point you said the phrase to me when it was talking about Germany, like you have like your oma being like children of war, mm-hmm. and then your mom being a generation of like children of the wall, and then you and your brother like children of peace, essentially at times.
Yeah, it felt like there was nothing major going on, at least in our country, that we had to worry about. So
yeah, it's kind of interesting just to think about those different generations and phases and stuff. So
yeah.
Anyway. But yeah, Sirius is serious. All that to say, he is very taking this very seriously.
Right.
It's fun to say. It's just
talking about dad jokes.
It's just fun to say.
Yeah. But anyway, on a more happier or less serious and more, you know, coming of age problems note. What am I trying to say? Back to Friday before they even meet Sirius here. It is potions class time, and it is Pansy Parkinson and her gang and the Malfoys, just one Malfoy and Crab and Goyle. They're all standing in front of the potions classroom, and they're hovering over a magazine, and they're all making fun. But I think when Pansy says, "You might find something to interest you in here, Granger," and she's laughing, sniggering, whatever, I think she's just jealous that Crumb has a crush on Hermione.
Oh, she's definitely jealous.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, that's just.
I can see her being kind of like surface level interested in Crumb. Yeah, because he seems more like someone who could be in Slytherin and more like up there, Ellie.
Right. So she's one of the characters. By the way, Pansy is one of those characters that I hope actually we get a casting for in the HBO show that kind of sticks around for the whole time, just like
the
young kids who are cast there and grows up. Yeah, that would be very interesting. Even if she has just a few lines here or there, I think a child actor would be would be down to have a small a smaller role and to grow into it.
Because I know it's hard sometimes, to keep them around for so long. But
yeah,
let's hope that happens. Yeah, that'd be nice.
Be cool.
It's also fun to see in the Hermione. They all go in. She actually reads the article underneath the desk when Snape turns around to the blackboard to write stuff like the ingredients on the board. So relatable. You turn around as a teacher and, you know, students are doing everything, but.
Well, it's text messages.
Nothing. Typically... Yeah. Nowadays it's just texting on their phone.
Right.
Sometimes you don't even have to turn around to the board, but that's another story.
Oh yeah. Don't get me started.
Sometimes it just dumbfounds me. Sometimes we were always making sure if we did stuff like that. I mean, I'm not saying I didn't do anything like that. I definitely did, but I always made sure I was trying to hide it from the teachers. Nowadays I feel like they don't even care anymore. Like they just openly like what then they're like confused about not being allowed to do that.
Yeah, the best one is the kids who leave one little AirPod in and they're noise canceling. They're noise canceling. So you're like
every time
what? Yeah. And then like you're sitting there, you're talking to that kid and eventually, like, somebody taps him on the shoulder, and he's like, what? And that's what they all say. What? Like, as if they're coming out of some trance. And I'm just like, and I said to one kid
as
one time,
you're
I said,
interrupting them.
Yeah, like, I'm like,
so sorry.
I remember I went to this one kid one time, and he just said, again, the one word, it's all he can say, what? And I said, you're in school. And he's like, what? I was like, I know, come on. you're like, all right.
How did I get here?
Let me tell you where you're at real quick. I mean, it's here. So I went over, because I'm kind of a comedian. I try to be. I told him the date, the time. I told him where he was. I gave him his name. Like, he was like, what are you talking about? That? And I'm just like, I'm trying to like, it was almost like he was coming out of this trance. And I was just like, and this is a kid I had seen 3 or 4 times in a row. And he had done this every single time. And I'm like laughing. The other kids are kind of snickering. And I'm just like, wait, almost like he's coming out of a coma. And I'm like, what, telling him where he's at. And it's so wild. But
sorry, you just have to listen to two teachers ramble about students. It's just so funny and entertaining. And so, again, so relatable when you read Harry Potter now from this perspective.
What?
And you read
I don't know why we didn't think to like.
Life's better with American Family Insurance. Because we know in making the most of your home, DIY doesn't just stand for do it yourself. It also means dream it yourself. And we're here to help protect the dreams you're building. Save up to 23% when you bundle home and auto. American Family Insurance. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. Visit AmFam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
Take this whole podcast approach of like two teachers approach.
Yeah. Like,
reread the Harry Potter series because there's so much mischief.
Let's rebrand.
Going on here. There's so many connections. I mean, going through a rebranding right now, friends. But yeah. So, Hermione's reading the magazine there underneath the desk, and she's wondering, how does Rita know this stuff? How does Rita know? And you guys, she is an unregistered Animagus. Okay.
Oh yeah. So. And there's so many fun little hints at Rita. We'll get to in a second. But Rita is actually, when she writes it, it's so different from, you know, a couple weeks ago. She described Hermione as being a very pretty girl in one of her articles about Harry. And now she's just, I mean, it's Miss Granger, a plain but ambitious girl. Miss Granger's doubtful natural charms, and she's really ugly, says Pansy Parkinson, a pretty and vivacious fourth-year student.
Uh-huh.
So totally the opposite of how she described Hermione just a couple weeks ago.
Right.
And then you had an interesting point, though. She writes that she probably used love potions. There's no other way. Like, how could a plain girl like her catch the interest of a Quidditch star? She must have used a love potion. But love potions are, of course, banned at Hogwarts, and no doubt Albus Dumbledore will want to investigate these claims.
Right. I was actually shocked by that. I thought love potions were a thing, and you've got the Weasleys working on them.
Right.
They're working on them there, so they're definitely breaking the rules big time there.
Mm-hmm.
What's her name? Romilda Vane or whatever. She was using one. Slughorn just slaps one on the table in front of everybody and says, here
True.
You go. Which, right. I mean, they weren't making it, and they're not, like, he's not obviously passing it out, but right. you know some kid's going by with their vial, just like, dip, let me just get Oops. A little bit of that. And out the door.
Yeah. I'll hit, oh, hit, I hit bet. I mean, that. Honestly, yeah, when you're a teenager, that would be, like, highly dealt with, like, you know, everyone. It's like they try to, you know, sneak in alcohol and stuff like that here and there.
You know what's crazy
but
is that
I think
that,
a lot of potion would have been like that.
I think when you think about it, it's, again, it's, this is all magical. It's all fantasy world, that kind of stuff. The reason this comes up in J.K. Rowling's writing and the reason it comes up in this story is because there's this lore. There's actually lore with witches in real life using, mm-hmm. like, love potions and being able to
right.
entrance people and stuff like that. So it has to be, you know, one of the elements that you have in the story. But it's nuts. The fact that you could just make somebody fall in love True. With you.
And they know it's not crazy. Real. I mean, the whole story, the whole villain character's story is yeah. around that this love is not real and it's not good to do something like that, right?
Right.
It's only
right.
going to end in tragedy. Yeah, it is kind of interesting, though, that, I mean, did Dumbledore, was he the first one who banned it after? Did What's he about, already know that?
It's probably been banned.
Tom Riddle was conceived. Through love potion. But yeah, I'm sure it has been banned for longer because it's just, you can't have that in a school full of teenagers. Anyway.
Does he already know? That's a great question, though. Does Dumbledore know at this point in time? Because
has
he
obviously figured out
went and picked him up and he goes and investigates him. But when does he get all those different memories exactly?
Yeah.
I think he does. I think it's after. No, I don't know. I honestly don't know. That's a good question, because he goes and when he goes to get the ring, mm-hmm. he you know, breaks through some of Voldemort's, that's earlier, that's much earlier, when he breaks through Morphin's memory and he learns about what happens there, right? I'm pretty sure. Anyway, so yeah, great question though. But love potions, bad, no good. Can't have him in Hogwarts. Get him out of here. They are just, yeah.
And Ron concludes that Rita's making Hermione some sort of Scarlet Woman. And Hermione, like, snorts with laughter, like, Scarlet Woman. And she's shaking with suppressed giggles as she looked around at Ron. You know, that's like, I mean, Ron says that's what my mom calls them.
Calls them.
I think that's hilarious. It's like an early 19th century description of a very promiscuous woman. If you will, and it just shows the difference between Ron's old-fashioned wizard family upbringing and Hermione's more modern Muggle upbringing, and she just thinks it's hilarious.
It's kind of fun. Yeah, Ron's jumping to some extreme that he's heard his mom, you know, probably say or use at home.
And just can you imagine, like, Molly calling somebody in a magazine? Oh, that it's, you know, Scarlet Woman. How do you?
Well, if you're reading about these different affairs or like flings that are going on, probably Gilderoy Lockhart had a few girlfriends. Think about that. Did She's Gilderoy Lockhart mad. Have a girlfriend?
You know what? If he did, I'm sure he had plenty, honestly. But I'm sure he never made it public because that most of his readers were women. If they had learned that he had a girlfriend, lover, wife, whatever, I don't think he would have been that popular anymore.
Or it could be that, Gilderoy could also be gay, to be honest with you.
Could be. Yeah, could I know. That would be actually pretty hilarious and typical. It reminds me of...
All these women are, like, super into him, and they're all, you know, he's winning Witch Weekly's most famous smile award and everything.
Right.
It's possible.
It's almost like, you know, how Barney Stinson in How I Met Your Mother. I don't know if you guys have ever watch that show,
right.
But like, I think it's kind of cool and hilarious that the actor is gay and he plays this, you know, like he hooks the character he
a
plays
very up with, promiscuous,
yeah,
bachelor,
yes,
yeah.
So that's kind of, that would be kind of fun to think about that. Yep. Now,
see, I'm sorry to pause, but like, anytime I can bring Gilderoy Lockhart back into a conversation,
I love it.
Do. You know?
It's what our podcast is known for. Gilderoy Lockhart and Slughorn.
Yeah, it's like my two fans. I think they're hilarious, and I can't help myself.
We should make t-shirts.
I'm thinking about it. I'm literally thinking about wearing it when I start doing like sort of live talking head videos on YouTube. I'm thinking about wearing some really cool Lockhart and Slughorn tees.
That'd be great.
I want to know if like Lockhart was he secretly an animagus? Did he figure out some way to do what Rita Skeeter's doing? Nope. I'll go there. Anyway, nope. Crazy.
Hi.
Oh, look who's back on the show. Look who's back on the show.
He's back again.
He knew we were podcasting without him.
He's back.
He said, "I don't think so. I don't think so." Anyway, all right, Lukey. Yeah. Hey, what do you think? By the way, what do you think about all this? Like, should love potions,
be banned?
Be banned? Or
yeah, we don't need any love potions.
Not in this house, buddy.
Nope.
Not in this house. Sure, some people think I behave like I'm on a love potion, but that's okay. That's okay.
Those guys are gross. Stop.
Sorry.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. We are a family podcast. We are a
back
wife and a husband. So.
Yeah, yeah. In case you guys forgot. Okay, back to the Potter. Back to the Potter. Hence the baby, by the way.
yeah, there you go.
This is magic. Baby got here via magic.
Yeah, it is magic.
Yeah.
Anyway, so back to potions lesson, because they're actually brewing a potion, believe it or not. And I think this is kind of interesting. And let me know what you think about this little detail here. So they're brewing. Do you know which potion they're brewing in this?
No, I was actually about to go look real quick.
I thought that was going to be your question for trivia. It's a wit sharpening potion.
Okay? To sharpen your wits?
I know. And I'm like, how are you guys not paying attention? This is like such a cool thing. Like, especially like if you're a student, you're in school, but in general, like.
Sign me up.
Right?
Sign me up. This is like,
tell me how to make this.
How many mushrooms are in this potion? That's what I want to know.
No, there's one thing that's in this potion is beetles, by the way. Ugh. But we'll get to this in a second.
Okay.
So the interesting part is the wit sharpening potion was a potion which allowed the drinker to think more clearly. Due to this, it acted as an antidote to the Confundus charm. Interesting that, you know, we sometimes find like hidden messages in Snape's lessons, right? The werewolf lesson when Lupin was ill, or the questions he asked Harry in his first year.
Right.
And interesting is that Crudy used the Confundus charm to fool the Goblet of Fire.
Mm-hmm. So wow.
I just thought, but, you know, there, so doesn't are you have saying... to be, there, it doesn't have to be a hidden meaning and everything. But
no, but it's cool. It's cool.
I thought it was fun to think about.
So, if we poured a wit sharpening potion in the goblet, would that have helped it prior to the selection? Would that have undone
the good question? I don't know if it has the same effect on the goblet, but it should with
a
humans.
Potion, does it have to drink it? You know, put it
in
the goblet.
No, did you just put it in the goblet? Yeah, actually, that's kind of fun to think about.
Yeah, anyway. Oop.
So yeah, that was my funny little detail there. And then I want to read this to you. This is the clear hint at Rita being a beetle. So while Hermione, actually, she says, "There's something funny, though," said Hermione 10 minutes later, holding her pestle suspended over a bowl of scarab beetles. How could Rita Skeeter have known? And then later, she snapped, "Don't be stupid." And while she's doing that, while she's starting to pound up her beetles again. So wow. She's
interesting. And they need to sharpen their wits and they need to think, you know, about this Rita situation a bit more.
Yeah.
I think it's crazy, though. Rita kind of gives herself away by reporting something that she knows that Crumb said, but they know she wasn't there. So they're clearly going to be thinking invisibility cloak, disillusionment charm. What's the deal? So I think that is kind of funny that she's kind of setting herself up there and really exposing herself in front of a really bunch of intelligent witches and wizards, you know?
Yeah. No, she does everything for her career, I guess. She's a very career-oriented woman and wants to succeed in being the best
reporter,
air quote.
Right. So, we then have after we go through all of that, some awkwardness between Ron and Hermione with Crumb and the actual question of going to Bulgaria, which, I mean, he likes Hermione. He definitely was.
Oh, he is like begging to hear the answer. What did you tell him?
Right.
He actually, when he said, "What did you say?" said Ron, and he had picked up his pestle and was grinding it on the desk a good 6 inches from his bowl because he was looking at Hermione.
Yeah.
Can you just imagine that scene? Like he's grinding the desk while he was
right
waiting to hear the answer from her.
That's hilarious.
But then Snape comes up and he splits them up, reads the article out loud in front of the class so the Slytherins can have a good laugh. And he doesn't want to hear about their tangled love lives. And I was like, hello? Who are you dogs? Snape, Lily, James, tangled love life and all that.
Wow.
But he probably...
I still go back to the reel you sent me the other day, which was, I don't know, maybe we haven't recorded since you sent me that reel, but it was this, it was the one where it was about James Potter up in heaven, like realizing that his son is named, like James Potter's grandchild is named after Severus Snape. It's like, what? And he's up there like, just shocked, you know, like, are you serious right now? Anyway,
that's funny. It was hilarious.
Just the back to the love triangle situation. So anyway, Snape's had enough of it, separates them. Karkaroff bust in though, and that was interesting. The Dark Mark, even when they tell Sirius about this later on, they're kind of relaying the events. I'm not so sure Sirius knew what that was.
No. Oh, he wasn't. He's
he doesn't know. He doesn't know.
Thought he was gonna be like, he did what?
Yeah,
but okay. That's interesting.
Unless you're in the club, you don't know. It's
not yet.
So only because he even is not sure. In this chapter, it's very obvious that Sirius is like not sure if Snape even really did work for Voldemort. Whereas in like the movie, it makes it more obvious. It makes it seem like everyone sort of knew that Snape was a Death Eater.
Right.
But that's not the case. I mean, even someone like Sirius and James and everything, they knew that he hung out with those people, but they didn't know that he actually was one.
Well, I think he would be pretty sure, but because of Dumbledore hiring him as teacher for so long, he says, no, there's no way.
Right.
That's giving him the final clue, like, nah.
Yeah. And the fact is that he is. Dumbledore does trust a Death Eater, which is crazy.
Yeah.
So.
Also, it's just shocking to me that Karkaroff just pulls out his Dark Mark in a classroom full of students.
I know.
Like, there you go. And,
yeah,
I mean,
take a look.
Yeah.
And but it's shocking that he stands in the corner and waits for the lesson to be over.
Right? That's, like, so awkward.
Yeah.
But if Snape's... I mean, Snape's mark must be getting clearer, too, on his forearm, right? He must be feeling that something's going on, too. That means at this point in time, Dumbledore also knows that he probably has told Dumbledore what's going on. So it's like even crazier that he keeps Harry in the tournament like that.
Right.
Even though he knows it seems like Voldemort is on the rise. And you know that Harry's name was smuggled into the Goblet of Fire. Yet you let him compete.
Yeah.
It's so crazy to me.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
Here's a question though.
Yeah, go ahead.
In this chapter, I'm just looking again at some of the things that were brought up. Veritaserum is brought up for the first time. And I think it's such an interesting potion, and I love when I'm making shorts to kind of find ways to say, like, why didn't they use Veritaserum here?
Right.
Why didn't they use it here? And I was thinking about that.
Yeah, every single trial becomes...
Yeah.
Like, why don't you just give everybody Veritaserum? But yeah.
And again, is that an abuse of power, or is that just like efficiency in the judicious system? Everybody's like, whoa, Ez, calm down. But I'm just sitting here thinking, like, if I were going to be on, if somebody was falsely accusing me of something and I had the power to take that serum, the truth serum, like, look, I'm an open book. All right. Here we go. And I'm telling you the truth now, but if you don't believe me, pass it over. Give me the potion. Yeah. Give me the potion. And then I'll tell you, and then again, you don't really know what they're going to ask, and you know, it's going to be a little crazy. And like Harry's worried about Cho Chang being revealed, his love for her.
Almost more than he is about Sirius, but...
Yeah, almost more. So, I just think it's an interesting potion.
It's also interesting that Snape is carrying it around, like, probably 24/7.
He's ticked. He's just upset. He wanted to make a point. He knows...
But he has it in his pocket. He's just like, this is, Potter.
He was waiting for this moment. I'm telling you, Snape is in his planning period. What?
Sorry, that just reminds me also of a reel. We're just speaking of reels. Sorry. Have you seen Tiffany's story today?
I don't think so. Should I look at it? Tiffany from Swish and Flick?
Because it's a meme. It's a Potter meme. And it's, I mean, what he just said, he's been waiting for this moment all his life. No. Okay, you know Phil Collins and his famous song?
I can feel it in the air tonight.
Yeah. I've been waiting.
Yeah.
For this moment all my life.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. So the headline is, it's Professor McGonagall, somebody has to blow up the bridge during the Battle of Hogwarts.
Oh, okay.
And then Seamus Finnegan turns around, and it's like the Phil Collins
and the song
singing
comes on.
That line.
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Cool. Sorry. I mean, I'm sorry. I shouldn't do this, but.
Wow.
We're just derailing ourselves. Funny. Memes are making life better. So,
yeah.
Thank you to all meme creators who are actually good.
Yeah, wish we could do it ourselves. God, I'd love to start making some memes.
I know. I know.
Yeah. I got to put Lottie to work. Anyhoozles. So just a crazy time in potions class. He was definitely planning it, and he was waiting for that moment to got the truth serum. Now what, Potter?
Right.
Like, I'm gonna slip this in your pumpkin juice. And yeah. So after that, we basically dance on over into Hogsmeade, though. They definitely want to go see Sirius.
Yeah.
And they get the socks, which is cool. I love that extra little world building that we get there, and just seeing a shop that's crazy that shop exists, you know? Like the, what was it again? Something about the
Glad Rags Wizard Wear.
Yeah, Glad Rags Wizard Wear. What the heck? Mm-hmm. So anyway. Pretty cool. They bring Sirius some food, and that was good. He's gulping that down, which is great. Definitely hungry. Eating rats, though? Come on. Doesn't Ron say at one point, he must really care about you?
Right. Yeah.
To be eating rats?
Yeah. Wow. That's interesting that, you know, after last year, what happened?
And why? Yeah, what if, I mean.
Oh, I mean, he's probably hoping that one of them is Peter, to be honest.
Well, that's a question. So, when you know. Stab a rat, or you're let's say you hurt them, or I don't know, do they ever, what causes them to come out of their form, their Animagus form? Can they when they're hurt, do they have to concentrate on it, and so would they just fall out of their Animagus form, or what's the deal?
Don't they use a spell on Peter to make him transform?
They do, but I'm just saying,
a rat, and that if that was Peter, he would just be killed.
Would he stay as a rat, or would he turn back into a human?
I think he would just be a rat, and you'd never know.
Same thing with the Polyjuice Potion, with Barty
Crouch
Jr.'s mom.
Mom, yes.
Is she...
I'm guessing the Polyjuice Potion never really wore off, or at least it stayed like this for a good while. They buried her right there and then at Azkaban.
Hmm.
And I don't think... I mean, if you would check right now, in the story, would you see the face of Barty Crouch Jr. or his mother?
See, I think the effects of it would just wear off. I feel like they would wear off and you'd see his mother, mm-hmm. but they buried her
before
so quickly.
It would take a second for it to wear off.
Same thing with, unless you're concentrating on keeping your Animagus form.
Actually, that's a different story, though. What? With an Animagus, you can stay in Animagus for weeks and months and years, like Peter did. But Polyjuice Potion wears off naturally after an hour. So if you don't keep taking it, you would transform back. Whereas as an Animagus, I don't think you have to act, it's not passively wearing off, but you have to actively turn back into a human.
You think so? Okay, I was thinking you have to actively keep yourself in that form because it's something that's not natural.
Okay, Okay.
Like, so you have to just like a spell, you have to focus on conjuring and keeping the spell going. So I don't know.
Okay. Yeah. That kind of makes sense.
Because your default natural state is what you would, if you're hurt, like Sirius, when he's hurt by Lupin, it feels like he is.
Right. In the movie, at least, it looks like he's turning back into a human because he's hurt. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
So,
anyway.
Anyway.
So he probably didn't eat. I mean, we know he didn't eat Peter, but
no, I did not.
He probably knew he would not catch Peter.
Fascinating that he's eating
rats. Yeah.
Then they go over the Daily Prophet, though. They're talking about some of the two recent issues there, and they're talking about things that are going on with Mr. Crouch, and we get into his whole backstory and how he was taking people off without trials.
Crazy.
To Azkaban, and like Dumbledore's like, sure. Especially with this one with Sirius, concerning Sirius, that's wrong.
Right.
Why would you not? Why is Dumbledore not questioning that?
Interfering, yeah. Because especially like knowing that this is James's best friend.
Yeah.
And he was part of the Order of the Phoenix. You know how loyal he is to the cause.
Well, again,
yeah, it's kind of wild that he just let that slip.
Dumbledore, why wouldn't you just apparate? He has all this power. Like, just apparate, give him some truth serum, have it out, abuse your power. Like, that's what Dumbledore does sometimes, I feel like. He just sort of, he's a rogue. He just sort of goes, just does his thing.
He does what he wants, because he's so powerful.
And go figure it out. Like, who's telling the truth, who's not. So, also, this is where Veritas Serum becomes the answer for everything. If you're trying to find the spy in the midst of your group, how about everybody just, hey, I'm loyal. pass it over here. Like, seriously, I'll take a swig. What do you guys want to know? And like the Marauders just get together and they sit down. They have a swig of Veritas Serum. All of a sudden, Peter's like, I'll pass. It's like, all right, you little rat. Like, come on. It's that easy. It's that easy, guys.
Too, almost too easy. Yeah.
So.
Time turners and Veritas Serum are very difficult things to work with.
Liquid luck. I mean, they're all too. It's great. I still love it, though. Maybe there's some sort of like, it's just that's morally wrong or in their wizarding world to do that. It's just not frowned upon.
Right. I mean, Snape says it is highly regulated, the use of Veritas Serum in the wizarding world. Okay. But still, if it is highly regulated, then why doesn't, I mean, why is it not used where it should be used, which is in law or in like.
Guys, Lottie is pushing for the use of Veritas Serum. In the court system, on the regular.
Right. I mean, you should be restricted to a certain type of question, but you are. I mean, essentially, you're just swearing I'm telling the truth. Obviously, if you don't want to, if you're the culprit, you're not gonna tell the truth. If you don't want to, if you try and hope to get out of it.
I don't know if you know this. Hey,
you can solve this problem by using Veritas Serum.
In America, I just went over this the other day with my students because we're doing vocabulary for their upcoming government course. We went over the Fifth Amendment. I plead the Fifth, meaning that it is my right to not self-incriminate. Okay? I know you're from Germany. I know you're from Germany. This is our Bill of Rights. This is the start to our Constitution. And so I plead the Fifth. I will not take that Veritas Serum. Why? Doesn't mean I'm guilty. I got the right to not take it, dude. So I think
you should, just like you have the right to say nothing, you should have the right to not take it. I give you that.
Yeah.
It should be used still to say, okay, if we use it and it's absolutely foolproof, then it will give you a lot of points if you take it and you actually tell the truth and you're not, you didn't do it. Right. But if you refuse to take it, then we know, something's up. We can't use that as like to sentence you to something, but it definitely gives us a big clue.
If there's no other evidence and I just choose not to do it, there's nothing you can do. Might look a little, like the perception might be a little fishy, but.
It's crazy.
I know it's crazy. Just had to point that out before people were like, oh my God, is Lottie suggesting that we use this in our court system? Maybe, okay?
We don't have it, okay?
We want people telling the truth, okay? Come on.
I know we have, like, lie detectors, but they're not 100% foolproof.
No, people fool them all the time.
Yeah.
But also, sometimes they're great.
Sorry, that was not me.
Was that him?
That was him.
Is he burping?
Yeah.
Oh, boy. All right.
Excuse him, guys.
Excuse him, please. Bless him. We're at the end of the chapter here, though. So quickly, the things they go back over, I'll just kind of summarize this, is Crouch. Yep. They go over Crouch's behavior at the World Cup, Winky, what was going on in the top box. You know, does Harry, who could have taken his wand? It's really irregular that Barty Crouch would be taking sick days. Like seriously, right. Like, that's just not like him. And that he's super anti-dark arts. We get the story on his son dying, going to Azkaban, how crazy that was. So he's on another level, and the fact that he's not here where you have Karkaroff and Snape, right? It's just odd that he's not really involved. Maybe he is truly sick, and he's just at St. Mungo's, and that's just what's going on. But it's kind of got it's got serious worry to the point where he wants Ron to actually ask his brother Percy, what's up? When's the last time you saw Mr. Crouch in person?
Right.
And you know, get an update from him. He's getting these daily updates. He's under the Imperius curse getting these updates. But when did you actually see him last? And also, would Percy even be able to tell that? Is it such a good curse? Is it like, what are some of the tells for the Imperius curse? You know, because it gave the ministry quite a bit of trouble when everyone was saying, hey, Voldemort had me under the Imperius curse. I was a Death Eater, but...
Yeah, it was not easy to tell the difference. Right. Yeah.
So, yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
But this whole chapter, I feel like if you're reading very closely and you're actually thinking this whole mystery through, it gives you all the hints that you need to almost like solve the mystery, like... who's behind all of this?
Right.
Because earlier, Snape accuses Harry of snatching Boomslang skin from his private stores. He, as we know from the previous chapters, saw Barty Crouch on the map in his office. Right. Okay, so it's revealed that Barty Crouch had a son who also could have been a Death Eater because he was seen with Death Eaters.
Mm-hmm.
Now we didn't know that his name was also Barty Crouch, I guess, but there's almost all the hints in this chapter, which is such a, you could say, filler chapter, right?
Yeah. Just an update.
But there's
with
so much in there. Yeah. For solving this whole mystery. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. It's full of clues on Rita Skeeter, full of clues on Barty Crouch Jr. and Sr. And what's happening, even those little subtle clues, like you said, which I didn't even think about, with the potions and some of the meaning layered in there in terms of the Confundus charm and all that stuff. So even though that's stuff that happens in the wiki afterwards, it's still cool to go back and read it and
it's
see
fun,
connections and stuff. So,
yeah.
Yeah. I mean, so it's a good kind of setup. I mean, I think as we run through the rest of these, so to end that chapter, essentially, they just report back. They're going to keep sending messages to Sirius and they say their goodbyes and he's giving Harry that stern warning to be safe and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so that's kind of our setup here. Let me see how many chapters. Do you remember how many chapters we have left in Goblet of Fire?
Actually,
I think so Goblet of Fire chapters.
I think it has under 40 and we're 27, so maybe 10.
Okay. That's pretty good. So our goal is actually to get through, we're on chapter 27. And we have up through, 10. So 37. Awesome.
Was I right?
Yeah. You're 10. Oh, cool. We have 10 left.
Cool.
So that's pretty cool.
That's not too bad.
Yeah. Our goal is to finish it this summer. And so we're going to be ramping up the podcast here, trying to get a couple in a week. We'll see how that kind of goes, depending on Luke's schedule, what we're doing. But I'm finally done with tutoring and super excited to get back into more content stuff. And by that, it's a little shaky, by the way. The first couple episodes here back have been like, Lottie and I are just still trying to figure out like our flow and figure out like, how do we talk to each other in two different rooms, and different places, and with a baby and all of it. So appreciate you guys just bearing with us. Yeah. And there's a lot of editing we have to do and pausing and starting and stopping. But it's totally worth it. I love talking about these things. Yeah. I have 5 tabs up over here. Theories already on Rita Skeeter and things I want to look up for Gilderoy Lockhart. And just the list goes on. Every time we read a chapter, it makes me think of more Potter content to do. So... yeah. All right. Well, thank you guys so much. We definitely appreciate you just, being here. And by the way, I was going to start the episode off with this. You guys are cool. I forgot to say that. I wanted to let our listeners know they're pretty cool, right?
I know.
I just think it's cool that you guys listen and that people are still locked in and like talking to us and everything. Oh, did you have an outpost you wanted to do or no?
Yes. There's actually talking about our cool listeners. One of our cool listeners, Weston.
Yes.
He actually wrote an owl the other day, and he's on episode 107, and he has to chime in to defend the appointment of my guy Hagrid, his guy Hagrid, as care of magical creature teachers, creatures teacher.
Yeah.
Wow, that's a mouthful.
Creatures teacher.
Magical creature teacher. And I think that's cool that he's like, I know he's got his faults, but Hagrid is pretty awesome.
Yeah.
Okay. So he has like three, he makes 3 points about Hagrid.
Okay.
You want to hear them?
Absolutely.
Okay. He says, give me a teacher with a passion for their subject and love for their students over an expert, air quote expert, any day of the week and twice on Sundays.
Yep. Yep.
Yeah. Just a passion for your subject and knowledge. Like that knowledge, most knowledge actually comes from practice. And I mean, you have to have both. You have to have both a passion for teaching, I think, and for your subject, that is.
Right. But you could have tons of knowledge on a subject and not be very passionate about teaching, right? You could be very brilliant and just like knowing it, knowing the ins and outs and the technicalities and stuff, but also just be piss poor at teaching. Seriously. Yep. I see it all the time. I'm not going to lie to you. People are like, oh my God, is this guy really talking crap about his school? No, I'm just saying. Well, yes, I am, I guess. I am saying that sometimes I see teachers who are brilliant and I'm like, these kids don't get it. Right. They don't get what you're saying. So it's actually a very, very tough job to be a teacher. It's very hard to bring all the passion and knowledge and to whip it up together.
So. Now, I think that Hagrid does have the potential to be a great teacher, and he actually is from, it's just, you know, a poor choice of certain creatures in a very interesting order, or like sticking to one boring creature the whole year. But that's like, just the lack of practice and experience with kids. But I think he is actually great with kids. He has, like Weston says, he's so passionate about these beasts. And he is like a Newt Scamander in a way that he sees value in those beasts and he thinks they should be treated, you know, like who says dragons can't be nice if we treat them right? I don't know. But yeah, he definitely got a point there. And he even says, like, you may say his experiments are illegal, air quote, but I call them innovative. Who else out there is doing new stuff in care of magical creatures? Let's go with this research. Kids can't learn this anywhere else. So that's a way to pitch his lessons for sure. Mm-hmm. Okay. And then the third point he makes is, where else can you get a pair of magical creatures? My brain was, you could hear my brain rattling. COMC, care of magical creatures teacher without bias. This guy befriends giant spiders, liaises with centaurs, and has a giant half brother. Students are going to profit immensely from this unique perspective.
Yeah, good point. I'm starting to wonder, Weston, did I say something in the previous episode?
No, he's actually saying, he's just, you know, it's
he's just out defending him.
Joking. It's just a little.
Because it wouldn't surprise me. I've accused Hagrid of some stuff before. I'm like, what is this guy up here drinking during, you know?
I know.
All these teachers are drinking over at the school, and I'm always like, what's going on? I mean, it's just funny.
No, Hagrid is great and fun, and we love him. It's just, again, our unique perspective as teachers and, like, him just having all the kids take care of species that no one has ever bred before, and they're clearly highly dangerous and could probably kill a student.
Right.
So that's all I think. I don't know. Did we say anything really bad? I don't think so.
No, we love Hagrid. You guys know we do, but he is an easy target sometimes. he's big guy. You know what I'm saying? Easy target. Get it?
Dad joke.
I'm trying.
We should have a jar for every dad joke.
And we can the bad ones
save,
and the good
save
ones.
Save up some money.
Are there good dad jokes? In the there are, right? And there's.
I thought you were gonna say, are there any bad dad jokes at all?
Should have. See, I'm still.
You should make a whole account.
What if Lottie were better at dad jokes than me?
actually,
her sense of humor is very different from mine sometimes. It's
sometimes
things that she laughs at. She's just like dying laughing, and I'm like, okay. Like, I don't silly stuff.
No, I think actually, like, some of your stuff is really interesting. Like, what? That was stupid. Not funny at all. But it's I'm stupid. Of the impression, like, you at least acknowledge, yeah, that's stupid. But I am living in the illusion everything I send you, like, reels-wise, is so just, funny.
Yeah.
I just can't.
Actually, most of it is. I guess I can be honest. Most of it is.
Thanks. I have good taste.
You know what I was thinking? I don't know if anybody would ever be interested in this, but, you know, you can create those little groups on Instagram where, like, we the creator. We could just share all of our ridiculous memes with everybody.
Actually, that's a great idea on Fleur and Bill.
Fleur and Bill, yeah. And just, like, you could just, again, you know, I know it's, like, it's kind of a one-way communication thing where it's just, like, us sending you guys a bunch of funny things that we think are funny.
I'm sure there's ways to respond, yeah. But I think that's it will make your day.
I think you can react.
You could share them all in stories, I guess. But this is nice to have like a group where we know, okay, it's just us in the group and you guys get the joke.
Get the humor.
Yeah, let us know. Like, send us an owl if you're interested in that.
Yeah, that'd be kind of fun. Because I do love sending reels to people.
I know.
And I hope, you know, some, by the way, I've sent it to a few of our listeners. Actually, there's some of you that I know that I'm like, and so Weston, hey, if you want on the list, I mean, I just send some stuff that's like, I hope these people think this is as funny as I do. And I'm just trying to make your day by sharing that with you. Because there's ones that I've just, gosh, they got me cracking up. They're so funny. Anyway. All right. Shout out to Weston. Shout out to you guys. We love you. You guys are great. You guys are freaking cool. That's what I wanted to say earlier. You guys are just honestly cool. And it's because you listen to us and it's because we're friends and it's just a good time. So
yeah, thanks for hanging out with us.
Yeah, it's great. Okie dokie. One more little plug here on my Flint and Wizard podcast. I'm going to be dropping some. You don't mind if I give a little plug for the podcast to you, sweetie?
Not at all.
All right, cool. I'm dropping some other wizard stuff over there. It's going to be basically Gandalf wizard stuff, which is Lord of the Rings stuff. I'm dropping that over on the Flannel Wizard. I'm dropping some of my crazy Harry Potter theories when I do a long form video. I drop that over there as well. I'm also going to be pulling up here this next week. I have a couple ideas for Patreon for you guys. So people who are supporting us over on Patreon, I'm going to be dropping some bigger theories, actually, which I think are going to be fun. I kind of do my like think out loud with you, and it's for me at least helpful, and hopefully you guys enjoy it. So that's coming up down the line, and then got getting back into long form content over on the YouTube channel, and really excited about that. Lottie's kind of got me encouraged to do that. So
yay.
Okay, all right, Luke says it's time to end this show. He is ready to go. So all right, friends, hey, thanks, that's all for this week. Thanks for tuning in to Shell Cottage Radio 94.7 COZY. We hope that you're going to join us in the future. We do thoroughly enjoy meeting new positive Potter people that don't behave like battling bumming bands of baboons. If you don't want to miss out on the next episode, be sure to subscribe to our podcast, leave us a review, follow on social media at Fleur and Bill. By the way, that review is super helpful. So please, if you do get a chance and you haven't, the reviews are definitely, the more we have, the higher the podcast shows up in feeds and stuff. So very, very helpful. If you could, even if it's just a 5-star, even if it's just that's all you can do. That's fine. Right. So,
and thanks again to everyone who already left a review in the past. So
yeah.
Thanks.
Appreciate you guys so much.
If you truly enjoy our content, consider supporting our growing wizarding family on Patreon or Apple Premium. You will find all the links down below. Thank you so, so, so much to all our current patrons. We appreciate you too, Luna and back. On our next reread episode, we will discuss Harry Potter and the Goblet of Fire, Chapter 28, Mr. Crouch's Madness. So make sure you tune back in next time. And until then, have a great rest of your week. Thanks for joining us in our Shell Cottage today. We know it's not much, but it's home. Knox.